Everyone standing on your feet all over the room. Hallelujah. 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 Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, verse 22. He's a good, good father. That's who he is. My favorite part. And I'm loved by you. The love of God is illogical. It's downright reckless. It makes no sense for him to love us the way that he does. Hallelujah. But he's a good father. He's a good father. He's a good father. Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, verse 22. The word of God declares, if you shall diligently keep all of these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto them, then the Lord will drive out these nations from before you. You shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place where on the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he said unto you. Verse 26 says this, behold, I set before you this day blessing and cursing. A blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you, and a curse if you do not. I want us to focus here primarily on verse 24, where it declares, every place where on the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is powerful. It's quickening, makes to come alive because it is alive. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, I pray that you speak such a word to us today that it changes our very nature, and that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. That it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so as open to receive that word, and on our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, today, have your way. This is your house, and we are your people. Do what only you can do, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for what you have done, for what you are presently doing, and for what you are about to do, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with. Come on. You know gold teeth is included. And say, this year, I'm taking new ground. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, of the Lord, of the Lord. I want to first lift you to where we need to go because I need you to understand that God is about to take you to a new frontier. In other words, God is about to take you to a place where your skepticism has to be in check. In other words, you cannot thin slice, if you will, what the Lord wants to do in your life and the people that he wants to bring into your life. In other words, I would like to use at this moment what Malcolm Gladwell said about human beings thin slicing events and endeavors as a gift. In other words, when I say thin slice, I mean that when we meet new people or new persons or new places, we have to make some sense quickly of the encounter. If we don't, then we will be skeptical of the encounter or the individuals that are new to us in our space. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Yes, he is. It's not that when you meet new people and you go new places, you're always excited. And the reason why you're not always excited is because, humanly speaking, if you will, we thin slice because we have to. In other words, we come to rely on the ability because there's a lot of hidden fist out there. In other words, we are accustomed to looking for the pain or looking for the letdown or looking for the disappointment or looking for the setback or looking for the individual that's going to do you wrong or do you dirty. But in 2017, as God takes you to a new frontier and as you take new ground, you cannot be skeptical of new encounters and you cannot be skeptical of new people that are about to show up in your life. There are certainly lots of situations that you have to be careful about, and certainly lots of people that you have to be careful of. However, you have to know and understand that if you immerse yourself in what matters to you and then keep yourself open to the possibilities of what God is going to do and commit yourself to act on what God is calling you to do at the deepest level, then God will take you into new ground and take you into a new frontier. And whatever somebody meant for evil against your life, God then will make it work for your. I wish I had somebody to talk to. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't going down that way in 2017. In 2017, truly, God wants to make the invisible visible in your life. If you just would indulge me for a few moments to speak prophetically before I jump into the text and give you a lot of content and substance, I just feel like speaking prophetically at this moment, if that's all right. In 2017, God is going to take your ideas and your endeavors from the invisible to the visible. And the way that is going to happen is through four particular stages, speaking prophetically. First and foremost, risk taking. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to have to take some risks. Ah, God. But the risks you have to take are calculated because you're not risking on the word of man. You're risking on the word of God. I wish I had somebody in here. And God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, God, I feel like preaching it here, then it actually is so. So if you can find in the book your idea, your dream, your endeavor, what God has placed in your heart, then God will give you the concrete steps to go ahead and step out and believe him that what he placed in your heart can come to pass. I truly believe that as you step out to take some risk, to dare to believe God once again and to trust him once more and to believe that his word is true, you're going to see some things come from the invisible realm to the visible realm in your life. Am I talking to anybody in here? You have to understand that all of creation began with just a thought. And that in the same way that you have a thought or an idea about something that you want to do, something that you want to go after, if God has placed that thing in your heart, you're going to have to take the risk and jump out and believe him that it can absolutely happen. There's a quote that goes something like this. Excellence is the result of caring more than others think is wise, risking more than others think is safe, dreaming dreaming more than others think is practical and expecting more than others think is possible. There's always going to be some critic or some expert out there telling you that it cannot happen. There's always going to be somebody that shows up to give you the data of why this is a bad idea. But if it is a God idea, beloved, I have to tell you, it is not a bad idea. I'm talking to somebody in here. In other words, you're going to have to take some risks. Secondly, you're going to have to begin to learn how to manifest. Look at your neighbor and say, manifest, manifest. God, don't worry. I'm going to teach all this to you all year long. I don't have time to do it this morning, but I'm going to help you out. Risk taking, if you will. Is the ability to try what has not been tried. It requires you to trust at a certain level your instinct. It requires you, as you do that, that you'll step out and you'll break new ground. Oliver Wendell Holmes said this: a man may fulfill the object of his existence by asking a question he cannot answer and attempting a task he cannot achieve. I certainly believe that when God calls us to do certain things, he knows that we don't have the ability nor capability to get it done, which then requires us to trust him. God, I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting. And so when you get a God idea, it's usually much bigger than your pocketbook and much bigger than your network and much bigger than your connections and much bigger. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting already. And so when you begin to take those risks, you begin to ask yourself what's next and what's coming over that horizon and how can I make it come into a reality? And you begin to think about your vision and think about all that God has called you to do. And as you begin to do that, you then enter into the realm of manifesting. In other words, bringing the invisible into the visible realm by constantly, constantly speaking over it and constantly searching for it and constantly going after to find what God said is yours. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to manifest this year. Ah, God, I'm preaching better than y'all shout. Manifesting is the ability to take a thought and an idea or vision and take it to concrete, practical steps and bring it into being. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm anointed for a step-by-step process. That means this year, you're not going to go weary in well-doing. This year, you're going to learn how to wait on the Lord and have your strength renewed, that as you run after what God told you to run after, you're not going to get tired as you run after your vision and your dreams this year. You're not going to find yourself in June talking about, man, I can't wait for the year to be over. You're going to find yourself in June saying, God, give me a little bit more time to get this thing accomplished under the window of this year. For your eyes are on the year from the beginning to the end of it. Am I talking to anybody in here? You're not going to find yourself in September and October saying, I can't wait to 2018. You're going to find yourself saying, God, I'm going to finish strong in the fourth quarter. And when the end of the year is over, you're going to have hands lifted up and saying, nobody but God could have accomplished what happened in my life in 2017. Am I preaching to anybody in here? Slap your name and say, I can use a little bit of that in my life. I believe you're about to see miracles at an unprecedented level, particularly in the month of March. The month of March is the month of miracles. So you got to get your stuff down right now so that God can begin to move. I wish I had somebody in here. Do you hear what the preacher's saying to you? Y'all sit down. Let me preach this thing. Manifesting, manifesting. You got to take risks. You got to manifest. Secondly, thirdly, you got to focus. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got to focus. I've got to focus. I've got to focus. And your focus is going to be crucial. And the way that you're going to keep your focus is in two categories. You're going to have to keep your focus through praise, and you're going to have to keep your focus through prayer. If you don't have a praise and a prayer life, you better get one real quick, fast, in a hurry. There are going to be days that require you to take time to give God praise that is due his name. There are going to be moments that are frustrating to you, but you're going to I have to have the mindset that I will bless the Lord at all times and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise has to become your habitual so that when the occasional comes your way, what you have done habitually has the power to overcome the occasional setback or the occasional heartbreak that comes into our life because it's life. I'm talking to somebody in here. Look at your neighbor and say, I gotta bless him at all times. So when it's going good in 2017, I'm gonna bless his name. And when it's going south in 2017, I'm gonna shake myself and get my focus back and open my mouth and give God a hallelujah anyhow. I gotta learn how to yet praise the Lord. Even when things aren't working out the way it's supposed to work out. Slap your neighbor and say, won't you go ahead and practice your praise right about now? Because you're sitting here looking at this preacher. You gotta learn how to condition yourself to give God glory. Because your body ain't going to feel like it. You're going to be tired in your body. But your spirit has to raise up and say, I'm going to give him glory anyhow. Slap your neighbor and say, I got to focus, baby. I got to focus. If I had time to teach all this stuff, I got the focus. Focus is the ability to be very centered, if you will, and to give all of your attention to action or to a action. And so whatever God is requiring you to do in the moment, be focused and get it done. Don't let your mind drift because life is drifting you. Don't let your mind carry on in imagination that is not working at the moment. There's time to dream, but when God is requiring you to act, you're going to have to focus. And the best way to get your focus back is to praise the Lord. And secondly, to spend a little bit of time in prayer. Baby, I know we're busy and I know it's the 21st century, but you better take 5 minutes or 2 minutes of every morning and say, Father, whatever you have for me today, let me walk into this thing, the person or the people that you need me to meet, let me walk right into them. Father, order my steps in your word. You better open your mouth. I wish I had somebody in here and get up in the morning and set your day in motion and say, Father, whatever you have for me, I declare it and decree I walk into it. And devil, I ain't even got time for you today. I wish I had somebody in here. You gotta get focused. And lastly, the fourth thing, speaking prophetically, this is just the intro, y'all, and I know I got a lot for you, but just stay with me. And the fourth thing that you have to do is learn how to appreciate. In other words, you have to have the ability to value the uniqueness of what God is doing. And you have to have the ability to value all that God has already done. Look at your name and say, I have to be appreciative. Come on here. God doesn't owe you anything. I wish I had somebody in here. And the children of Israel didn't ask to be God's chosen people. And that's why they weren't appreciative when God did the things that he did for them. They were not appreciative when he brought them out of Egypt without having a military, without having an army. They weren't appreciative when he changed their economy in 24 hours. I'm preaching to somebody in here. They were not appreciative because they found themselves in the middle of a wilderness and all they could focus on was the desert instead of focusing on what they truly deserve. And they did not realize that God didn't give them what they deserved. Because if they were slaves, they should have been killed in Egypt. But somehow God brought them out and then was positioning them to have their own land and their own territory with a new frontier to determine their own lives. Am I preaching to somebody in here? Slap your neighbor and say, you better learn how to be grateful. Yes, you better. Whatever God does, from the major to the minor, you better say thank you, Lord. I don't care if your toe was hurting and he healed your toe. You better say thank you, Lord. I don't care how minuscule it is. You better lift your hands and say, Father, I know that was you. You have to begin to acknowledge God moving in your life. Am I talking right in here? that those are some of the things that you have to focus on in 2017. But I want to get down into the text, and I want to jump into Deuteronomy 11, and I want to jump into it specifically as we'll get down to verse 24. But to set the tone and to set the narrative for you, you have to understand the lesson from history. In other words, when you jump into Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, and you begin in verse 1, Moses begins to make this declaration, and he begins to give Israel a lesson in history as he begins to review the mighty acts of God. And he begins to say, I'm not writing to those who do not know that God has been good. In other words, I'm not speaking to your children. Your children don't know what you know about the Lord. In other words, they don't have the understanding that you have, that there were times in your life where you knew you should not have made it, but somehow you made it anyway. There were moments in your life that you could not share with your kids what was really going on because it was too adult, but you knew in the depths of your soul, if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you would not have made it to this position. And Moses is saying the same thing to them. He's saying, listen here, I want you to understand this lesson, and I'll divide the lessons up, if you will, into two parts and give you a couple simple pointers. He says, I want you to understand the manifestation of God's power. And then I also want you to understand, if you will, the manifestation of his majesty or his mighty hand. In other words, you saw God move with an outstretched arm. And he began to frame this concept, if you will, in the attesting signs and the quotation marks of the things he did. Look at your name and say, the things he did. Come on here. That's past tense. And then he goes on to say, in question marks, these great things the Lord has done. In other words, he's trying to say in the lesson in history, God did some things in your life, and those things are finished and wrapped up. But now God is about to do an even greater thing for you. And so he begins to shape the narrative by putting in the crosshairs of God's power Pharaoh, first of all, who was king of all the land. And then second, the military forces that were behind Pharaoh, his horses and his chariots. And as he began to put them in the crosshairs of God's power, he begins to shape the narrative of letting Israel know what used to chase you down no longer has the capacity to chase you down. It has been completely incapacitated. So whatever sickness you've been battling is about to be completely incapacitated. Whatever mindset you've been battling is about to be completely incapacitated. Whatever poverty you have been battling is about to be completely incapacitated. Whatever people you have been battling is about to be completely incapacitated. Y'all not even in here with me. I don't know what you have been fighting. I don't know what been chasing you down. But I just told you, God is about to dismantle the ability for it to hunt you. I just need 10 folk that understood what just came out my mouth. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you suffer from anxiety, if you suffer from depression, I am speaking to you. If you suffer from these things, God is about to dismantle the chemical imbalance. I still believe, not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I still believe that. Y'all sit down. God is about to completely dismantle the capability of what was to keep you bound. Somebody get your freedom. I don't know why y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, like you ain't. I know you're bound. I can tell by your prey. Sitting up in here looking all cute. If I had anxiety or depression, I'd have ran around this place. I don't care who knows it. I'm trying to be free in 2017. I don't care what you think about me. I got a life to live. I got stuff to do. I got purpose to accomplish. Got no time thinking about how you feel about me. And if God just told me he's about to dismantle, completely incapacitate the ability for me to ever be like that again, I'd have ran around this whole church and lost my mind. That apathy is going to kill you. Sit down. That apathy is going to kill you. You sit here like, oh, that's a good word. That's your word. You got to learn in 2017 to go, oh, that's mine. As a matter of fact, from here on out, in my little 10 minutes that I got left, from here on out, when the word hits you, you better jump up. Oh, no, you know what? Do whatever you want to do. For those of you who got ears to hear, and when the word falls on you, that's mine. I done told you once, I ain't gonna tell you again. Life and death is in the power of your tongue, sweetheart. And my Bible says that if any two or three of you would gather together in his name concerning anything, that he would show up in the midst of it. So as I'm preaching the word to you, and when the word finds you, you got to get into agreement with what I'm saying over your life. So whatever has been chasing you, whether it's depression, whether it is sickness, whether it's poverty and you can't get the resources and you're always trying to make the ends meet. My God, I'm preaching to somebody here. You're living paycheck to paycheck. You can't keep a steady job. You can't get yourself stabilized. God is about to completely and utterly reverse the process of what's been taking place in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all sit down. He pivots then from the powers that continue to be problematic for Israel to then putting in the crosshairs the people that are traveling in your circle, but are really not for you. And he deals here, and I'm writing in text, he deals here from moving to Pharaoh and his army by declaring God wiped them away as the Red Sea closed on them, and what chased them, they never ever saw them again. Don't let the enemy keep you running from something that God has already dealt with. I am preaching it here, y'all. Just slap your name and say, God, I've already dealt with it, baby. My God, ain't no need of you living in fear behind it, for the Bible says you shall see it no more. Oh. He pivots from there and he deals with the people that's supposed to be in their circle and traveling with them in Dathan and Abiram and all of the people that would begin to conspire against their freedom. And he got the ringleaders of the rebellion, swallowed them up into the ground, and he dealt with some folk. Look at your name and say, God's about to deal with some folk in your life. I'ma leave that one right there. I'ma leave that one right there because I ain't got a lot of time. Ah, God, I'm preaching better than y'all shout. Uh-huh. You know you need some folk dealt with, and you can't deal with them because you can't afford to go back into that lifestyle or that mindset. Just look at your name and say, God's about to deal with some folk that need, you know who I'm talking about. I wish I had somebody in. I just need them dealt with. Am I talking right to anybody in here? Y'all sit down. Let me finish this thing. As he pivots from that position, he then begins to deal with the place. Somebody shout the place. The place. And this is where I really want to preach primarily. Everything you just heard was kind of introductory and prophetic, but it was still good stuff. And so he says then, he then wants to deal with the place. Somebody shout, the place, the place. And so he says to them, now that I have dealt with all of the problems, now I want to deal with the place. And the place where I have you to go, if you will, is a place that you're going to possess. Somebody shout, possess. That means you're going to take possession of it. That means it already exists. The place that God has taken you is already in existence. You do not have to manifest the place. The place is all, y'all on here with me, the place is already there. Slap your name and say, it's already there. That means the position you want is already there. The platform that you need is already there. The person that you have to connect to already exists. God just got you on the outside of the place. Oh man, if I had my voice, I really preach this. So don't try and create the place. Because that's what we're trying to do, to create our own utopia. Oh, if I had time. And this is what all world religions offer. Your own nirvana. God, y'all sit down. God, you're making me nervous. God never asked anybody to follow him without having a place for them. Thomas said to Jesus, where are you going? He said to them, don't you trip. I'm going to my Father. Why? To make room for you. God always has the place. You don't try to create the place. So you don't get to pick the place. Ain't nobody shouting now. Israel didn't get to pick the place. Abraham didn't get to pick the place. Leave your father's country. Where am I going? You'll know when I tell you. Slap your neighbor and say, I like the place. I like the place. I like the place. See, you got to trust God enough to know where he's taking you is somewhere good. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And when it starts looking like it ain't going to be good, that's when you start your own navigational system and start saying, we must be lost. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't lost. You ain't lost. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. You ain't. Come on, touch me again. Say, you ain't lost. Come on here. You at the right place at the right time with the right God. You ain't lost. 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 You start going to a new place and it's not looking like you want it to look. And you drive it in your car and you're going, no. You're on vacation and you drive into the hotel and you see one, you go, God, please don't let that be the one. Booking.no.
Yeah.
So he shifts from the people and he begins to deal with the place. And this is what I want to deal with. Just give me 10 minutes and I'll get you there. And so he begins to cause them to recognize the place as a gracious provision of God. Look at your neighbor and say, the place is full of provision. Come on here. He tells them that the place is a land flowing with milk and honey. And then he tells them the place where you're going is not like the position of Egypt, where you had to, if you will, artificially irrigate. And he says this emphatically. He says to them, it is not like Egypt, where you had to possess it from which you came out, where you had to sow your seed and water it with the foot as a garden and in herbs. In other words, he was saying, look, I don't want you to make the mistake, if you will, to believe that where I'm taking you is like the place where you came out of. He says to them, it is not like the place where you had to water it by foot. What does that mean? I know it sounds crazy. He says this because he's referring to the system of artificial irrigation. In other words, they had to use foot-driven pumps to lift water from the Nile to the nearby fields. And this was very arduous, if you will, because to get the water out of the Nile, some of the slaves had to sit there and just pump the water by themselves out of the Nile for the water to go into the field, so that it can irrigate the crops, if you will. And so you can only imagine how tiring this is to get the land to produce something. But God said, the place I got for you is not this place where you're going to have to, I wish I had somebody, where you're going to have to pump the water out, because this place drinketh the water of heaven. Instead of trying to artificially irrigate this place, I don't want you to have to do that, for the place is already fruitful and ready to produce. What I need you to do in this place is start taking territory. So wherever you place the sole of your foot, my God, I'll give it to you. So the land or the place is a gift. And not only is it a gift, here we go. The problem with the new frontier is that it's not just a gift, it's also a test. We like it as a gift. We like the flowing with milk and honey. We like the from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, that God's eyes will be on it. We like the continuity of that. We love that part, but what we don't like is this test part. Well, Pastor, how do you know the land is a test? Because he then says in verse 13, if you hearken diligently unto my command to do this, to love me. To love me with all your heart and all your soul. He says, then I will give you the rain. In Egypt, they could get their own water. But in the place God had for them, they had to believe God for it. So, in dry seasons, your mind starts going, well, shoot, I could go back over here. I was, and just pump my own water. See, that's why it's a test. Because you're going to get out here, and it's going to look dry. And then your mind is going to want to go back to what you hated, but became comfortable with. Just do me a favor and say, this dude is preaching up in here. Yes, he is. Somebody shout, it's a test. So it's a gift and it's a test. It's quite. So why is it a test? Because the test is I'm gonna give you the. But the problem. Here's the test. The test is it's not multiple choice. Okay. It's not all C. C. It's pass fail. And so he then gives you the grade in the text. And also the answer to the test. So in Deuteronomy 11, 13, 15, don't worry, I'm going to preach all this stuff another time. But Deuteronomy 13, 11, 13, 15, you'll see the passing grade. And then in Deuteronomy 11, 16, 17, you'll see the failing grade. In Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 15, he says, here's the humor. Here's the response you're supposed to have to the test. If you faithfully obey my command to love me and to serve me with all your heart, you pass. Then I will send rain on your land in its season, but not just any rain. I'll combine them, autumn and spring. I'll bring the heavy rain. God, I'm preaching way better than y'all. In other words, I'll bring rain out of season to give you due season. So it'll be flowing when it's not supposed to flow. And it'll be producing when it's not supposed to produce. Oh God, and you'll be harvesting when you're not supposed to. Watch this. Watch this. And what's the result of that? What's the result of the rain? Listen, oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm just, whoo. Watch this. Watch this. What's the result? He says, look, I want you to do this. Why? I'll give you rain in due season. Why? So that you can gather your grain, your new wine, and oil. Okay, so that you can gather, here's the result of you passing the test, of loving me with all your heart and soul. I'll give you rain, not just any old kind of rain, but I'll bring the spring and the autumn rain. I'll combine the heavy rain. Joel talked about this. I wish I had somebody in here. I'll combine it all. And it'll be raining in moments where it's not supposed to, because you depended on me and trusted in me. Yeah, I wish I had someone. And you'll why? So that you can gather in your grain, your wine, and your oil. Just touch your name. You might not understand what that means, but I'm about to enlighten you. Touch your name and say, I'm about to grab my stuff in 2017. I wish I had somebody in here. And not only will I grab my stuff, but it's going to have joy and an anointing to boot. For the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm going to gather with joy. I wish I had somebody. So everything I need, I'm going to gather. And some stuff I want, I'm going to. And here's the end result. He says it in verse 15. I will provide grass in your field for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Slap your name and say, this place is sustainable. God will never take you somewhere that is not sustainable. So if you find yourself in a place that you can't sustain, it ain't God. Here's the failing grade. I got to give you the failing grade. I'm going to be a good teacher. Verse 16 says, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, that you don't turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Little g. Like money and people and stuff, little G's, and worship them. Yeah. Here's the result of that. Then the Lord, his anger will burn against you. Listen, listen, listen. And he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain. See, the place he's taking you is dependent upon the rain of heaven. And because of that, if he shut the heaven, then the ground would yield no fruit. You can dig all you want. You can pump all you want. Nothing's going to produce. And you will soon perish from the good land that the Lord has given you. So the problem with the land is that it's a gift, but it's a test. Because if I don't trust God in this place, I could die in something God wants to give me. That is good. I was telling my wife the other day, and look, we ain't got Ravens. Our season over, so we just want to so we might as well be in church, be close to the Lord. Might as well just sit here and praise the God. Help me, Jesus. Anyway. I was telling my wife, God has had me in some crazy places in 2016 in positions and sitting in rooms with people who are about to be Secretary of Education and this and that and then this person and that. And I'm like, how? I'm sitting there at the table. I'm at the table by invitation. And I'm sitting there like, how in the world? And I'm going to myself, what am I doing here? And I was in this meeting, and one person said to me, said, you're the subject matter expert. And I said, on what? And they looked at me and said, on faith, dummy. I said, oh, yeah. I was so mesmerized, y'all ain't said nothing. By all the folk, I forgot who I was. They had me in the room because they couldn't find an answer and they needed faith for that. I had a meeting on Tuesday. I was on vacation. Got a text. I need you in this meeting. Come talk to these folks. I said, okay, who's going to be there? Well, the mayor going to be there. Governor going to be there. This senator going to be there. I need you there. All right. Now I'm not going, what am I doing there? Now I understand the place. The place. I'm not saying those things to brag. I'm saying it to you because I'm telling you, when God takes you into a new ground, a new frontier, you're like this. Because I know I have been. Just particularly when you meet billionaires and you just want to poke them, go, are you real? Let me see your wallet. All right, here we go. Come on, we this is it. This is it. Your land, your ground won't produce, and you will soon perish. Listen to what it says. You will quickly perish in the good land. Not outside of it, in it. I refuse to die in what God said is supposed to produce and sustain my life. Y'all didn't hear that. So it's a gift, but it's also a test. But it's not just a test, it's also a promise. Oh, and the promise is that, listen, if you can go into this thing and trust me, I will dispossess all of the inhabitants of this land and give you territory as far as the eye can see. That wherever you choose to place the sole of your foot, wherever you determine to go, God, I'm preaching, man, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Look at your neighbor and say, where you want to go? Oh, slap your neighbor and say, to the moon and back, baby. I wish I had somebody in here. Oh, God, I'm going to preach that thing. I'm going to preach that thing. Where you want to go? Not only is the land a promise, but the land is also an opportunity. So I gave you four things. The land is a gift. The land is a test. The land is a promise. And the land is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. What's the opportunity? God, to be blessed beyond measure. Oh, God. To be, if you will, a reflection of who God is in the earth. To be God's covenant people. To realize this land, this place is a gift from God in fulfillment of his covenant promises to ancestors. Their prayers your grandmama and your auntie and your uncle and your daddy and your mommy has prayed over your life, they are about to come to pass. God, you don't hear what I'm saying. This is a paradise-like context in which God gives you a place to fulfill your God-given destiny. It is a special place that is object or the object of God's election, if you will, and his perpetual care. For his eyes are on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. This is the place, if you will, where we respond to God's covenant in every ethical way we possibly can to honor the Lord. This is the place where God intends on fulfilling, if you will, his relationship with people so that he can providentially enable you to go and to live and so that others may see you in this place and know that God is who he said he is. That is the place and the frontier you are about to endeavor to. And so he says, I set before you a blessing and a curse. I set before you life and death. And he gives you the answer to it all. And says, choose life. Choose to go into this new frontier. Choose to go into this new place. There's going to be an urge, a burning in your spirit. I'm speaking now again prophetically so that you can recognize what I'm talking about when it happens to you. When you come upon your place, there's going to be an overwhelming desire to go, to jump, to leap. But there's not going to be any data to support your willingness or wanting to leap or to jump. And so you're going to have to, at that moment, choose life and choose that God is calling you to step out into a new frontier, to do something that no one has done before, to believe him in a way that the body of Christ has really stopped believing him. For the body has continued to go back to self-irrigating, trying to pump and pride up the anointing of God with all of his programs and all of his light shows and all of his smoke and mirrors. Y'all ain't said nothing. But God wants a people that will depend on the rain of heaven, that they'll stay there until the rain shows up because God promised them. And they'll pray until the rain shows up because God promised them. And they'll praise until the rain shows up because God promised them. And they won't leave their place because they know it's a God-ordained place, no matter how it looks to anybody. Sit down. And so today we set covenant with God through communion. And that's why we're having communion today at this very moment. Because communion is a connection between the relationship that we have with God through what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary. And as we take communion today, we are connecting to this place, this new frontier. And we're using communion as the bridge today to walk us over into what God has for us. Communion is a time to remember what the Lord has done. It's a moment to reflect on the goodness of God. And it's a moment that you can also focus on what God has you to do and also let go of some stuff you don't need in your life. Don't take any bitterness into this year. Don't take any unforgiveness into this year. Don't take any heartache into this year. Be determined to get some stuff that you lost back. Go get your marriage back. Go get your stuff back. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting in here. Don't sit back and just let the enemy tear your life all apart. Go get your stuff. Claim your territory and go take new ground. One can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Y'all not in here with me. And so if you let the enemy come, I'm speaking to marriages right now. You let the enemy come in there and separate you and get you splintered. I'm talking to marriages right now. I'm not afraid of y'all. And you can sit here and look cute all you want to while all hell is breaking loose in your home. One can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Stop letting the enemy isolate you because you're only effective up to 1,000 by yourself. But the moment you connect with your God-intended spouse, you grow exponentially. The world quits on its weddings and on its marriages. We don't. Besides, you already know the crazy you got. And I might as well stick with the crazy I got. Because new crazy can't cook. New crazy can't cook. New crazy don't do no dishes. New crazy don't shop. New crazy don't. Come on, man. Fight for your stuff. Take this communion and say, I'm going back home today. I don't care. Come hell or high water. I'm talking to marriages right now. Go to therapy. Do whatever you got to do. But fight for your stuff. We're not of this world. We don't just throw in the towel. And moreover, you're letting 2 years or three bad years get in the way of 30 good ones. I just said a thing and y'all not even listening to me. So what, you had a couple of bad years, but if you stay long enough, the good ones will overwhelm the bad. I've been married for 20 years. I done forgot the bad ones. Because I got 20 in. So my good years overwhelm my bad years. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can sit here and look at me like I'm crazy all you want to. Go home. Go get your family back. Stop being crazy. Where are you going? Young lady, who is going to remarry you? Go home. Mend your relationship. And if you're mad at me because I said all of this, leave. Bye. I love you enough to tell you you're being stupid. Go home. Go home. Work out your differences. It's worth it. Your family's on the line. Your legacy's on the line. Your purpose is on the line. Your place is on the line. And don't die in the good land that God said he would give you. Hallelujah. And if you want to be that mad, be mad, but be mad at home. Be angry, sin not. I sleep downstairs, you sleep upstairs, but we ain't going nowhere until we work this thing out. I'm trying to save some lives right now. I'm trying to save some marriages. Because that's another way the enemy fights this church. We're a family church. And this world needs to see couples together loving one another. They need to see families, particularly. We need that in our society. Amen. Amen.